thank you for joining us for All Things Real Estate. Now here are your hosts, Brad Avergon and Gary Kelly.
Welcome back to the second half of All Things Real Estate. I'm Gary Kelly, joined by Brad Avergon. We were talking about what buyers should do now in the current marketplace. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about is what should sellers do? You know, you've got buyers out, you know, go back and reconfirm your pre-approval, don't give up hope, that kind of thing. But sellers, you know, if they wanted to list their house by, you know, Thanksgiving, they may be, you know, missing that already. And the truth is, houses sell every day of the year. You can sell a house on, I'm going to say, Christmas Day. I would ask that you not call me early in the morning on Christmas Day to go look at houses, because I'll be spending time with my grandchildren. But I think what happens is people get these dates in their mind, and then it's like, I've got to do this. Truth is, if you haven't got the house on the market by now, you may want to wait and work feverishly to get the house ready so that February 1st, when the spring market starts, now I'm going to say February 1st when the spring market starts, it's really when the snow goes away, okay? That they are geared. Look at that. He's got a black dog mug. You radio listeners can't appreciate that Brad just took a sip of a hot toddy out of his black dog mug. So I want people to continue to focus on getting their house ready, but I don't think that they should be working Christmas Day painting walls. And I certainly don't think that they should take all of Hanukkah and do preparation every day. And New Year's, you know, I don't care if you work on New Year's. That really doesn't bother me. But, you know, if it's time for family, or if it doesn't look like we're going to be watching the Patriots this year, you know, those are things I think are important for people.
I would agree. I think it's really important that they do spend time with their family and that they, again, remain calm. Let's not put this into a panic where we all have to run around getting our houses ready for sale and working 24 hours. There's no reason for that. As you said, houses sell every day of the year. And if you put together a plan and you work in tandem with an agent like you and Sue, you can orchestrate a really nice pace, get this thing on the market in plenty of time. And the other thing I would add, one more thing too, is don't be overly greedy. I'm sending this message to sellers, and there's a reason why. The market has been a little bit frantic over the last couple of years, and it created an environment where almost people thought the sky's the limit. I'm going to create this crazy bidding war on my home, and, you know, people are going to be lined up around the corner. That ship has sailed. Those times were just like interest rates being super low. Those crazy prices were not normal. That is not what a normal market is. And I encourage listeners and viewers to listen to your real estate agent. Case in point. So I'm working with an agent and a client, a buyer this weekend, and there was an open house coming up. And this is last week. And we tried to get the house off the market before the open house. So they offered a premium above the asking price for the property. The sellers turned it down and said, we're going to go for the open house. We're going for broke. We think it's going to be a line around the corner and so forth and so on. Well, they had their open houses. The weekend came and went, and they had no offers on the property. So when we submitted our offer again, we didn't come in offering that premium. We came in offering at asking price. And so, in fact, the sellers lost money on the transaction compared to what they could have gotten. So, you know, listen to your agents out there. Listen to the people that have the experience and that can guide you to a good decision. Don't be overly greedy, because the times, they are a-changing, and we are in more of a normal market. So you want to be smart.
So, Brad, I want to shift gears completely for a minute. We've got basically 5 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. So, Sitzer Burnett, big lawsuit, it's on all the news. Commissions are going to crater. I'm going to sit back and let you talk now. Now, my view on Sitzer Burnett is, It's basically an attempt, well-intended intent, by the way, to make fees in real estate very transparent. So right now, when you sell a house, you go to a listing agent says, I'm going to sell the house for X percent. And from that X percent, I'm going to pay for photography. I'm going to pay for floor plan. I'm going to make brochures. I'm going to host open houses. And oh, by the way, I'm also going to pay the buyer's broker. Okay. If the buyer comes in with a broker. Right. And what is, the intent of this is to decouple the buyer piece from the sale piece. That's the intent of it. Now, if you turn off paying for buyer representation, I think that's bad at one extreme, okay? Because you'd have a first-time buyer that doesn't know what they're doing, quote-unquote, and they're not represented. Conversely, the seller wants to, they're choosing the listing agent, and the listing agent is subcontracting, basically, to a buyer agent. And is that wrong? Should is that wrong? Apparently it is. So the idea now is full transparency. We don't know how that's going to play out yet. What forms, what changes. One of the big things at first was that it used to be on MLS that you could not, as a listing agent, offer $0. It had to be $1 or above. Well, now you could offer $0. I don't look at that as earth-shattering, but I do think that it's going to turn the real estate business a bit on its ear. So what are your thoughts as from a loan officer and long-tenured person in real estate perspective?
So, Gary, I go back to the dark ages. I go back to when there wasn't a buyer agency. There was the listing agent and the selling agent. That's what we referred to him. And the selling agent basically said to the buyers, listen, I have to be fair with you, but I technically represent the seller. And then the listing agent said, I technically represent the seller. So technically nobody was looking out for the buyer, and nobody with experience. And oftentimes it was challenging for buyers. Again, the selling agent tried to be fair and tried to be honest, but it was tricky. When buyer agency came around, it was a good thing because buyers could have someone whose fiduciary responsibility was to that of the buyer, meaning their financial responsibility was to advise and guide the buyer in the best way that they knew how. And they not only told the buyer that, but they disclosed that to the listing agent and say, listen, I'm on the other side of this transaction. I know my fee is being paid by your seller because you're agreeing to share half of your fee with me, but my allegiance is to the buyer. And I think that that's really important because in this type of transaction, in this type of business, what you don't know can hurt you. It's the largest purchase you're going to make. So you want to assemble the best team possible. So given that it's a good idea to have someone representing you if you're a buyer, how do we do that? Well, the challenges with first-time home buyers is oftentimes they're coming in with, less than 20%, sometimes as little as 3% down because that's all they have. And not only do they have to they have to cover closing costs sometimes and things like that. So being able to pay for a buyer agent out of their own pocket is not an easy thing to do. And my concern is they're going to go without representation. And that is a big, that could really cascade into some very, very large problems because it's an easy expense to avoid, right? If I have to pick and choose, well, I'm going to do my home inspection, but I may not have a buyer agent. I'll just walk up to the listing agent and I'm a smart person. I'll make my own decisions.
I can look on YouTube and see how to be my own agent.
There you go, right? So I think there's a lot of danger in that. Now, fortunately, in Massachusetts, we are in an attorney state. So what that means is that attorneys conduct closing, and you can usually get an attorney to try to help advise you at purchase and sale. But candidly, by the time you've engaged in that offer is a legal contract, and it's very hard to change those terms and conditions if you happen to make a mistake. So I'm a big fan of buyer representation. I think how they structure it, that's up for grabs. But right now, the good news is everything is as it would. Nothing has changed legally in Massachusetts. So everything is as it was. When you get a buyer agent, that buyer agent is technically representing you. And, we'll see where things go.
Well, I think that some people have their hair on fire about this because it's a change. I think you will see more people asking to have buyer agreements done. I mean, normally Sue and I don't ask for a buyer agreement. We work with someone. If they like us, great. If they don't like us, we don't want them to be, you know, tied into us. But you've got people now that are saying, listen, if you just can't go out and use anyone. You've got to, you know, have an agreement where you're tied in. And I think that makes a certain amount of sense. But more on this later. Brad, if someone wants to reach you, how would they do that?
Best way to reach me, Gary, is via my cell phone, which is 978-375-5531. Or they can reach me via email at brad@bradavergon.com. And Gary, how do they reach you?
I can be reached at Gary@movewithgary.com or 508-733-6005. Brad and I will be together at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Westboro on Thanksgiving Day. So don't hesitate to swing by and meet us if you want. Anyway, thanks all, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and we all have so much to be thankful for. Happy Thanksgiving. Be well.
Once again, thank you for watching All Things Real Estate. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Brad or Gary.